To Jack Rose.
How you been, man? How you been?
Good.
Yeah.
It's been, it's been a fucking weird year, man. I mean, I guess for everybody, but let's see. I live in the middle of the woods now, which is fantastic.
Do you do woodsman shit?
Oh, all the time. Every day I wake up, I have several woodland creatures put my clothes on for me.
Yeah. Which I was wondering what his idea of woodman shit was going to be.
He opens the window and the birds come.
I decided I had to go with Enchanted Princess because I was like, they're not going to believe if I say lumberjack shit. No one's going to. With these forearms, dude, I'm not cutting any wood. So I'm like, you know what? Birds help me get dressed. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, it's fun. You liking it out there in the woods?
I love it.
Are you out? Are you earthing? Are you getting your bare feet in the earth out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like a Native American. We live right on the river, which is awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're doing like, I got a kayak, which is great. We do like river floats all the time.
You roll up your pants and put your feet in the water?
Dude, almost every time. I have a little dock that I like kick my feet like this off of. Nice. So I'm a real woodsman.
Yeah.
I'm a real woodsman is what I'm saying.
That is what a woodsman is these days.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. It's an enchanted princess. Most days I just put my feet in the river and hope that that prince who has my shoe comes and finds me.
Nice.
So that's what I'm at.
Sweet.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll come around.
Yeah. So we're sitting here with Lou Miziano.
Hi, guys.
From the podcast Night Moves. They get really mad at me if I don't do an intro.
Really? Who's they?
The listeners.
Oh. I thought you meant the guests, and I was like, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel. But yeah,
also, no. I'm so non-confrontational that I would have left today being like, I guess they just don't say the person's name. I guess that's how they do it. It's not two receptive bros. It's two Jack bros.
Yeah, that's us. Yeah. So, Lou, do you know what we do in this podcast by any chance?
I have absolutely no idea. I got the most information by moving to Los Angeles. Chakra one open, motherfucker. Let's go. I do research.
Yeah. That's what's up. So, awesome, because a lot of people don't. But so, and for those of you who are just now listening for the first time, so basically what we do is our premise is to prove that you can have an inappropriate sense of humor and still reach a higher consciousness /enlightenment. I should have said it that way.
Yeah.
But so what we do is we take our guests through the process of reaching enlightenment by opening up all their chakras from the ground up. And Lou, as you already know, the first question that we like to start everybody with is what situation or experience has given you the most information?
Moving to Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah, hands down.
Yeah. And how would you distill like exactly what that information was?
I think I got a much firmer grasp on not just who I wanted to be, but who I was trying to like let go of. When I moved to LA, I was looking to change who I am as a person.
Yeah.
And the mistake that I made, and it's one that I had made before, but this was the first time it's really sunk in, is that external change isn't always going to rectify internal change or spark internal change.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes you need to move to a new environment to sort of like wipe the slate clean. But if you are internally not prepared to put the effort through to becoming a different or a more enlightened human being,
mm-hmm.
then really what's just going to happen is you are going to be, first and foremost, the same person, but I also moved to a place that made it really easy for me to double down on all the parts of myself that I didn't like anymore.
Okay, so what were you and what were you trying to get away from and what were you trying to become?
I was trying to grow up. I'll put it to you this way. I was talking to a friend of mine about moving to LA, and he had already lived there for a long time. And I was like, well, I'm trying to become like a better man. And he goes, what does that mean? And I said, well, you know, I'm trying to like stop fucking strangers and doing drugs all the time. And he goes, and you're moving to Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's not the place to go for
not
that.
At all. Yeah. Not at all. So,
But that it sounds like you were already the best man. You were fucking strangers. You're doing drugs. Like, how much better do you want to get as a man? You've accomplished it. You won.
I did it. I climbed the Mount Everest of being 22 for 8 years.
Nice.
But yeah, it's like, you know, you kind of get like lulled into like a routine and you kind of get caught in this idea of like who you're not only not necessarily who you want to be, but who you think people think you should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. And I really enjoyed doing that for a very, very long time. And then after a while, you're just like, man, I am fucking miserable and I cannot figure out mm-hmm. why. And it's because you've not you've, but I sort of adapted this persona that I never really wanted to be in the first place. It was more, it was a very surface level persona. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's really easy. So, you know, there's that thing of like a social reward
mm-hmm.
and like people start rewarding you for certain behaviors and it's easy to just fall in. Like, I'll just be this then. It's like they give they're giving it up.
Right.
You know? And so you moved from here
to Los Angeles
because you wanted to stop fucking strangers and doing drugs.
Well, here's
you moved to the city of fucking strangers and doing drugs.
Yeah. Los Angeles is Spanish for who has the bag.
Wait, hold on. Ansley. What is in the bag?
Cocaine.
Okay.
Yeah.
She got one. She got one. That was a she got one.
Do you have any?
No.
Well, that was also just to go back to that, to your point real quick, but it was also one of those things where I was putting too much effort into short-term happiness instead of long-term happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because short-term happiness is like that endorphin rush immediately, you know, it's a line of coke, it's a shot of tequila, it's sex, it's like stuff that makes you feel good immediately right in the moment, as opposed to things like setting and accomplishing goals, like, and like, you know, working, like, you know, working out, like that kind of stuff, like stuff that doesn't
wait you were able to bang a bunch of chicks without having goals or working out. How the hell were you doing
it? Dude, listen, you know what's funny?
That's the only way I know how to bang chicks. Having goals, working out.
Dude, I was actually thinking about this where it's just like, I represent like, dude, I am millennial fuckboy. Like I figured it out where it's like, man, I really want to come on this person, but weights seem like a lot to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on skinny jeans. I'm just going to let her talk about horoscopes until she tires herself out.
Mm.
And that's where we are.
Mm. You're going the listening route.
Yeah.
All right, I've heard of it.
Yeah. Heard of it. What?
Yeah. All right, cool. So, and did you accomplish the transformation or was it just learning that there was no transformation to be had?
No. Leaving was the transformation. When
like leaving LA?
Yeah. Leaving when the pandemic hit, and things got really bad. I mean, dude, I was doing an absurd amount of drinking and drugs and decided to start sleeping with all my neighbors, which made pool time very awkward.
Who gets the noodle?
So then I went home for a little bit and then I came back and then LA went into second lockdown and I knew that it was going to be longer than like 2 weeks. I think it ended up being like a month or 6 weeks or something. And before that happened, I was like, I'm not going to survive unless I leave. So I left. Mm. And moved back home for a little while. Then I moved like 30 minutes, I think, down the road to where I currently live. And yeah, it's like did AA for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that. I got interventioned by my best friends almost a year to this day now that I think about it. But
well, guess what?
What?
This is your intervention anniversary. There's some shit you still need to fix, Lou.
Dude, I would love it if they all of a sudden came out from behind that curtain right there.
Yeah, so all right.
So I'm on the path to enlightenment.
Yes, the fuck you are. That's what this podcast is.
That's what I think we can say.
All right. So, well, let's get into it. Let's enlighten this motherfucker. And again, yes. You know, we thank you for coming here to do this, because this allows people to kind of gain, you know, ground on a higher consciousness themselves without going through the process. They can, you know, vicariously through your experience. So we're going to get into this. And we're going to start with the first chakra. This is the fear chakra. This is chakra number one, located right in the butthole.
Dude, I'm a fan of the butthole.
Well, we'll see how much of a fan of the butthole you really are.
Challenge gleefully accepted.
We'll see if you really like opening
many
buttholes.
Many women that could call you to tell you I am into the butthole.
We'll find out. All right. So, Lou, how did you learn to overcome fear?
I think this is all going to sort of be... Have you noticed that most guests, like, every answer is, like, all sort of the same umbrella? Does that make sense? Like, all of their answers kind of have to do with the previous question?
I think that a theme tends to develop. Like, each episode kind of brings its own unique theme to it.
And that's fair. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I would say creating a very good self-defense mechanism.
Let's do that one more time. So the question was, how did you learn to overcome fear?
Right.
And you said by creating a very good self-defense mechanism.
Yes.
Okay. So what is this self-defense mechanism?
So sort of like I said, like going back to like sort of being wanting to sort of like shed the previous person that I was. The thing that makes it difficult is that the previous person that I was kind of like made me like impervious to like a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, let's say like high school, like, you know, I never got girls. Like I didn't feel like I was ever like cool or whatever.
You had goals and were working out. You were fucking up.
Yeah. You know, and then I moved to Philadelphia, and it's like the first time that you're around. It was the first time I had moved to like a bigger place and realized like, oh, I can just kind of create whoever the fuck it is that I want to be.
It was like the college experience. Like we have different, multiple people have talked about on this episode, like going to college and creating like a new avatar.
Yeah, for sure.
Not on this episode, on this podcast. What I mean. But yeah, so you created your avatar in Philly.
In Philly, yeah. I didn't do that. I didn't do that in college. College was like very, I was just high and sad all of the time. And then I got
instead of a drunken fucking
yeah, exactly. So then it was like and honestly Philly comedy was the thing that kind of like tipped that off for me.
And then
after a while I was like, well listen, if you're gonna create a persona for yourself, you know, guy who's partying and fucking ain't a bad one.
That's not bad. So let me ask you this question though. When can you remember being the most scared?
I got into a really bad car accident my senior year. That was really bad.
Were you driving?
I was driving. It was like one of those like weird back roads, and I was at a four-way intersection or two-way intersection. I was at a two-way intersection. I had a stop sign crossing traffic didn't. The guy crossing was speeding and I wasn't paying attention and the road was wet. So when I went to go press the gas pedal, instead of going immediately, my tires spun and I just slowly drifted out in front of this guy and he hit me driver's side going like 60 miles an hour. And my fucking head went through the windshield and I broke my collarbone and I fucked up my leg. And for some reason I was in the back of the ambulance and I remember them being very mean to me. But I think what it is that when you have like a brain thing or some sort of head injury, you know, the people that are trying to take care of you have to be like very firm and very direct. Like almost to the point of like yelling and being forceful because you're all fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like when you go to like, you know, for a regular doctor's visit, you're not bleeding from the head and they're like, so what's going on with you today? They're like yelling at you essentially.
Every second tell.
Yeah. You go in with a sprained ankle and they're like, sit on the fucking table.
Yeah. Exactly.
Elevate your, listen to me. Eye contact.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
So then I got to the hospital and I'm like all fucked up. Like I like can't think straight, and I kept trying to get a hold of anybody. Mm-hmm. And for some ungodly known reason, nobody would pick up the phone. Like I called so many people and I don't know what it was, but no one picked up the phone. And I was literally sitting in this place just like, I'm going to die here. And I'm supposed to have friends and loved ones. And I remember thinking all I wanted to do was get up and smoke a cigarette, but I had really shitty cigarettes on me. And I was like, I don't want to smoke these. I was like, if I had Marlboro Lights, I would be out of this bed right now, but I don't. I have red USA 100s.
Okay.
So I felt not only was my body broken, my brain broken, but I also felt very alone.
How long did it take you to get in touch with somebody?
I mean, it was like an hour, maybe probably less than that. But like when you're all like fucked up and like you need help, mm-hmm. and help is not coming, you're like, well, shit, I guess I'll just start my life again in this hospital. I started my first life in this hospital. I'll start again in a hospital.
This guy is constantly starting lives. Yeah, yeah. Like a Sims character.
Dude, I was going to say I'm the cat of people.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was...
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
I mean, it never... I mean...
Yeah.
You know, I'm too busy getting drunk and fucking to be sliding in hospital stories, dude.
Yeah.
What were all the reasons why people, like, do you remember the reasons?
Fuck me? I mean, I'm handsome. I dress well.
Like, what was your mom doing? Like, what was...
I really don't remember. And yeah. Also, it's like, to this day, it like haunts her. So just to like bust her balls every once in a while. I'd be like, hey, mom, remember that time I was in the hospital? You didn't come get me?
Yeah.
She like hates it.
Checking to see what kind of relationship he had with his mom on the low.
Well, also,
Does your mom love you? Your mom doesn't even love you?
I was trying to pick
anyway, she was driving the other car.
With the age and like, I was like, they had cell phones, right?
Yeah,
like,
we did have cell phones.
Figure out.
Yeah, I do. I cannot for the life of me. Yeah, I think maybe she was at work or something. I have no idea.
Get back to this defense mechanism. Like, so what was the defense mechanism and what was the purpose of it?
Well, I remember when I was in college, I was very, very sad and depressed all the time. Like I was well liked in high school, and going from that, and then also my parents divorced, I think 3 months into my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
So going from that and then experiencing the divorce on top of that, and I'm already like a textbook overthinker and shit. Like I completely imploded. Like I was not fun to be around. I was high all of the time. And I was just like a fucking bummer. Like I was just a bummer. Like I specifically remember, like I can see myself like sitting miserable on a couch, just being so cynical and so angry at everything. And so when I moved to Philadelphia, that was all so fresh in my mind. Cause I think I moved to Philly maybe like 6 months after I dropped out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being that upset over everything. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing that again. Like, even if I feel that way, I'm going to push it down and push it down, and I will not be that person. And eventually, when you're cynical about so many things, the last thing that you can be cynical about is being cynical. So like I would sit at a party and be like, man, all these people suck. And then eventually that became like, really? You're going to be guy that doesn't have fun at a party? So like it kind of like, you know, that kind of helped me get out of it. But I very vividly remember thinking, I am not going to do that again. Even if I feel that way, I'm not going to be that guy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a chakra unlocked.
Yeah, yeah.
How does your butthole feel?
I got to wipe.
I think that's a good sign. Yeah. It's got a little loose. All right. So this next chakra, we're going up into the pelvis. So this segment is called My Bad. And what you do is you get to give an apology to any person, place, or thing that may need to hear an apology or may need to have an apology from you. Not necessarily that person, place, or thing is going to hear the apology.
Right.
But this is just a chance to set your energy back to neutral so that you can press forward on this path to enlightenment.
Interesting. Okay. I'd like to apologize to the friends and family of Gabby Petito for murdering her. that's my bad. Okay. This actually happened pretty recently. I was at a bar with some comedy adjacent people, and we ended up going back to somebody's house. And we're just drinking and smoking and, you know, chopping it up, shooting shit, whatever. And there was a girl there who was, I think, like 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about comedy and shit. And she told me that she was really into improv. Oh, and boy. Really, you know, and not just improv, but writing and just all things comedy. She was very interested in it. She had done stand-up a handful of times. And she had told me, she was like, you know, I'm supposed to, like, continue college, but I don't wanna. I really wanna just drop out and fucking go do comedy. And I told her to stay in school. And that has haunted me since I told her, because I was the one at her age that I dropped out and I went, and that's exactly what I did. And I think it was because I was unhappy where I am in my career. I decided to sort of project that onto her. And it's really haunted me since I said that to her. And I've actually been thinking about trying to find out through other mutual friends who she was, so I could, like, send her a message.
Wait, no. Drop out. My bad. Well, no, my bad. Drop out.
It wasn't so much drop out as much as it was, like, because I remember being her age and having adults, you know, older people tell me the same thing. And telling her that made me realize that, like, somewhere along the line, I had, like, lost, like, my fire and my passion for what I loved to do. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't necessarily a life thing. That was a me thing. But I keep blaming it on things other than myself. So when somebody younger suddenly has that dream and has that vision, instead of me, who has gone through it and continues to go through it, instead of helping to cultivate that and inspire that, I immediately chopped the legs out from underneath her and was just like, no, you don't want to do that. So the apology is really to two people. The apology is to her for saying that. And the apology is also to 22-year-old me for thinking that. And don't get me wrong, like, should you stay in college? Yeah, probably. But, you know, if it is something that you truly want to do, there's not going to be a whole lot of people in the world that tell you to go pursue that wholeheartedly. It's like a lot of it, especially as you get older in life, it's like, you know, fucking, you're going to get beaten down by people around you that are like getting 9-to-5s and all that shit. And yeah, somewhere along the line, I feel like I kind of like lost that, you know, like I said, fire in me.
All right. Well, I mean, that's first of all, a good apology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not shocked that somebody who has started so many lives partially apologized to themselves. That's a first, right?
Yeah.
Is that a first?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't even know which version of me I'm apologizing to.
It's good. I mean, how do you feel about getting that apology out there? Like, off your chest and out loud?
It feels nice. It feels nice. And now that I realize that I've had so many lives, I feel like I should, like, leave the room after every question and come back with, like, a different haircut and then answer the same question. Good. I feel good. I think I'm, you know, I dealt with a lot of stuff this year. This was definitely going to be, like, a rebuilding year for me. And now that, you know, now that I'm, like, coming out more and doing stuff like this and doing my own podcast and doing more comedy stuff, I'm, like, kind of, like, starting to get back to, you know, the reasons why I actually sincerely loved myself, in like a core standpoint, not from like an external, like, oh, I like to party standpoint, from like I'm starting to learn how to become proud of myself again. And that's something that I haven't felt in a very, very long time.
It's a perfect lead into the next question. Lou, when were you the most disappointed in yourself?
Bring it down a little.
So I don't always ask that question that way, although that was a funnier way to ask it in that moment. So usually the way I start that question is, how do you move past disappointment?
Well, the good self-defense mechanism helps. Mm-hmm. You know, the fucking, because like one of the big things that I used to rely on when I would be disappointed would be my ego. That was like my big sort of like, you can't fucking touch this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I learned in comedy from this fucking guy. I remember watching Sydney go on stage the first time and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. Because it was literally a string of dudes being like, my dick doesn't work. And then, Sydney went up and he was like, I come just by thinking. I was like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, yep, I want to be that guy.
You know I'm insane, right?
Yeah. No, totally.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, it was... and the thing is that even if the ego is bullshit, there is that sort of like self-belief in yourself. Like it does start to rub off on you eventually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, even like I said, it's just like bing, this can't hurt me. Eventually the, this can't hurt me just becomes like sort of like natural. Like you start to like, you know, you look at the lyrics for a song long enough, eventually you actually memorize the words to it and then you can just start to like rattle it off.
Yeah.
So, That's how I overcame disappointment.
Okay, so now can you think of a time you were the most disappointed in yourself?
Honestly, I think, I mean, not to retell stories, but that the last one was pretty bad.
Telling that girl to
you know, do all that stuff. And also a lot of it was a lot of it was being like a lot of my time that I spent in Los Angeles was I just felt like I had gotten like just beaten down by it. And you're just surrounded by people that suck. But that being said, it's like, you know, I worked very hard to, you know, get okay at comedy. And I let that city like beat it out of me. To the point that I was like, I don't even want to do this anymore. And like, that fucking sucks. It sucks. It sucks having a skill set that you worked very hard to get at. And don't get me wrong, I'm certainly not the best comedian in the world, but I worked very hard for a very long time to get pretty good at it. And it sucks to like be in a place that is supposedly supposed to like help you flourish with whatever talent you have. And instead, I just totally put that all to the side and just fucked off for like 3 years.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and how did you, so, and it was the mechanism that you used to move past the disappointment of that? I mean, like, do you look back on that and still think of that as like lost time or you do learn from that?
You totally learn from it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's not, I think that I will, I mean, and not even just with living in LA, but also just sort of like being whatever character that I was for so long. I think that I'll be able to look more fondly on it when those years are farther in my rear view. You know what I mean?
When you're a different character.
When I'm a different person.
When you've evolved many, many characters.
Right, exactly, exactly. We're all just Pokemon, man.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, you're gonna be wearing a Jeff cap.
I can't wait. Oh, I already have a. Is that a Newsies hat? Because I already have one of those.
Okay, I like Meet That Lou. All right, that's so. I mean, I definitely like that. And you know, I just want to remind people. So, from the answer that you gave during the My Bad section, you also mentioned how upset you were because you were showing yourself by telling her to stay in college. That you lost your fire.
Right.
You know, and like that disappointment there. So that's would be the disappointment that he was referring to.
Right.
Just in case people aren't keeping track.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Am I speaking too vaguely?
No, I mean we get it as specific as we need to.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
We're pretty good with follow up questions. Right. Ansley's been pretty quiet this episode.
Yeah. I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. Ansley.
Thank
Ansley's
you.
Here.
Thank
you. Sydney's here.
Yeah. To sum up everything so far, cocaine bad, self love good.
Good. All right, so that's a chakra unlocked, double chakra unlocked.
Love that, dude.
Right?
I hope I start levitating at the end of this.
That's our hope. Somebody eventually is going to do it.
Or glow. Yeah. I take that, too.
Yeah, I'll take a glow.
Yeah.
I'll take a strong glow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Lou, what have you learned from grief? And, of course, we're up in the heart chakra now.
Okay, this is going to be, this is probably, this is going to come, this is like a two answer question for me, because this is going to be what I'm trying to work on, And then it's also going to be what I've, how I've actually handled grief. How I've actually handled grief is just drugs and drinking. And eventually, I mean, it's literally, the, I mean, alcohol is a substance that is designed top to bottom to help you not give a shit about anything. That's the whole reason that it exists.
Yeah, it was designed to deal with the fucking Vikings that kept coming to your town and ransacking.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The marauders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't mind the raping and pillaging too much if I'm hammered all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I'm trying to like kind of realize now is that grief is like, grief is a privilege, I think. I think that grief is a good gauge of your ability to give a shit about something. And I think that when you, I think when you feel grief, it is, it's a good barometer for you to, how am I trying to put this? Like, I think that when you experience grief, I think that it's important to sit in it, but I think it's also important to realize that the reason you feel grief is because of your capacity to love something or to care about something. And I think that that's, I think that that's important. Like the more grief you feel, it's like, well, that's because it's of the more love that I can give and I can receive and I can feel. Yeah. So it's a, it is, I mean, and that's something that I've, again, that's what I'm like trying to like understand is that like, it is, yeah, it's a privilege to feel grief because it shows how much you, your, it shows, it showcases your ability to love.
Yeah. So how does, hearing that, Ansley, how does that strike you?
No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you've got, yeah, it's a.
Yeah, because if you don't, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but in Ansley's mom passed away in March, and hence why we have her dog.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, it's, this has been, I think this is the first time that somebody has said that.
I think it is too. Right. And, but I've definitely said that to you before.
Absolutely.
Like, well, yeah, and absolutely. I think when it's something as big as grief, I think that like it's, I know what I say is like kind of cheesy, but like sometimes when it's something as horrific as grief can be, sometimes you need a, something a little more than like, well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so how do you feel? I mean, I, you know, I can only imagine that. I mean, is it fair to say that like the level of upset you get is because of how deep and awesome of a connection that you had with your mom?
Yeah. And I mean, I think like when you're dealing with something and you have kids and you're like trying to make sense of it for them.
Right.
You know, you've come to messages like that maybe quicker too, because, you know, like you've got to see the good and the bad of everything. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And like find the blessing in things. So.
Right. And also this, I didn't even think about this. So like when you are, you know, because, you know, obviously it's going to affect you more than it affects them. When you were kind of explaining things to them, was it one of those things that like, did you feel like you were kind of like telling yourself what you were telling them?
Yeah, I feel like talking to them. Yeah, I definitely talked to my son like as like,
right.
You know, like because I'm like what you were saying about like you tell yourself things over and over again and then like you can start to feel them. Like
right.
You can say it before right. You feel it. So it's like to say it out loud to him because I think that that's the best thing for him. It's like, oh, this is advice for me.
Right, exactly. And sometimes it's like, you know, it may, when I feel like when thoughts just kind of sit in your head, they can kind of get like muddled mm-hmm. in a way, or mm-hmm. or at least sometimes, I mean, at least my go-to is like, I'm a worst case scenario guy. So like if it just sits up here, even if it starts as a good thought, it's gonna tumble and tumble and tumble into like some situation where I'm being like mauled by tigers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but when I notice when I put it out there though, it's more real to me and it's easier for me to handle. So it's interesting that, that's something that you would.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't mean to spend too much time on grief. This is typically the shortest one that we do, but is there something you can think of that, knowing what you said now, how grief is a privilege, is there a situation that, not that you wish you would have grieved differently, but is there a situation that comes to mind that you could have applied your new idea of grief too?
I've gotten my heart broken twice in my life and I've always come out better on the other end.
Always come out fucking.
I always come. But yeah, I wish, cause I would, cause like when it's very rare for me that I feel those emotions with somebody. And so when I fall fucking hard. And so when I get hurt, I get hurt really fucking hard. And it's not that I would have grieved necessarily differently, but I think that it would have helped me get over it and move on faster instead of dwelling on it for as long as I did.
Okay. All right. That's a chakra unlocked, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this motherfucking Lou trying to become a real boy.
Oh, this dude, is crazy. I know, right?
This is wild.
Dude, right? This episode better be called Pinocchio. I'm gonna be so pissed, dude.
I think it might be called Millennial Fuckboy. I've been thinking about that the whole entire time. So, all right. We're getting into the throat chakra now. Lou, what is your favorite lie to tell? And you get extra karmic points if you give a lie that's currently in rotation. So the favorite lie you ever told.
Okay.
Or you get extra karmic points if you give a current lie in rotation.
Okay. This is a toss up between two. One of them for commitment to a bit and the other one for length of time. So commitment to a bit. I can't remember who. I want to say it was Michelle Balloon Show, but she used to do a show up in Northern Liberties and like this really nice.
Yeah.
Cocktail bar. Do Absolutely. You remember that?
Yeah.
It was a great show. Yeah, it was a really good show.
It was.
So I did the show, and it was also close to my house, so I might have just been hanging out. But I was at the bar, and there were these two cute girls there, and one of the girls goes in the bathroom. So I go and I start talking to the other one, and I don't know why this happened, but during the 2 minute conversation we had, I said something in a French accent. And she started laughing a lot. And she goes, hey, my friend just got back from Europe. You should do the French accent. She'll love it. And I was like, okay, fine. That sounds great.
I'll be that guy.
I was like, I love being
new people.
I was like, yeah, all right. I'll say like two sentences in a French accent. We'll all laugh. We'll get drinks, blah, blah, blah. So she comes back and dude, I shit you not. Like I became this French guy. I am like, I have never been so deep into a character. Like she was asking me like where I was, and I told her 40 kilometers west of Versailles. I have never said the word kilometers in my fucking life. I was nailing it. And this girl was feeling it so hard. And she's like asking me like how to say things in French. And she's like picking up objects. And she's like, what's this in French? And I'm literally speaking gibberish. There's nothing. So I get this girl's number. And she's like, hey, tomorrow, like, let's get a cafe. And I was like, sure. And then I started dying laughing. And she goes, what's so funny? And I looked at her and I just went, I live at 10th of Spring Garden. I'm not fucking French. And the anger in this woman's eyes was so, I'll never forget it. Because it's like she had been tricked on like a carnal level. And also the fact that her friends sold her out too didn't help.
And she'd been to Europe.
Yeah.
And she got hosed by
non-European. Anyway, she made me delete her number out of my phone. She was so mad at me.
That's very fair. I think that is like the best way that could have turned out.
Also, that's such a millennial fuckboy thing to do. Could be like, can you believe this girl deleted my number after I lied to her for an hour?
Yeah, but that's also... she was about to fuck a French dude.
Yeah.
Like, that matters to chicks.
No. She was like, oh, she was going to leave and be like, oh, the diary and I are going to talk about some things tonight.
Man, you should have. I'm like, when I was going to college freshman year, I was like debating over whether or not to go in with a French accent because I was obsessed with the X-Men character Gambit. And you kind of, as you were saying, I was like, fuck, he kind of looks like Gambit. You were living my fucking fantasy for at least 15 minutes or so.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably.
So what about your other lie?
Oh, all right. So the other lie was I must have been, I guess like 13. So my middle brother was either 10 or 11. And I had just discovered the word cunt, which changed my life. This is my favorite word of all time. And I said it once in front of him and he was like, whoa, like what was that word you just said? And I was like, and in my head, I'm like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Like this is the word. So I just made something up. I was like, I said creesh. I remember saying that. I was like, I said the word creesh. That's like the worst word you can say. Years go by. I must've been like 18 now. And my brother is like dating this girl and he's like, hey man, do you think she's a creesh? And I was like, the fuck are you talking about? And he was like
a black chick. A creesha? Is she a creesha? Yeah.
He's like, you know, a creesh. It's like the worst thing you can call a girl. And then it all flooded back to me. And I was like, dude, have you just been going through life calling people creesh?
Well, no, because I'm a polite gentleman. But it's been in the role of that.
Yeah. So that one,
Was he calling people creesh?
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Like on the road.
Yeah. Fucking creesh.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's
a good one. Yeah. So that was that one goes for longevity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a while that he thought that.
That's pretty good. I also the idea that chick made you delete her number out of your phone. It's so funny to me. All right, we're moving along here. It's interesting to have this happen when there's like no resistance. Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. It's
what do you mean? Do people get combative sometimes?
No, not combative necessarily, but sometimes like, so you go to somebody, you say, hey, what is your favorite lie? The favorite lie you've ever told. And they're like, well, I'm an honest guy. I don't know.
Who the fuck has said that?
Literally almost everybody.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But then
I've looked at every guest that has been on this podcast. They're full of shit.
Well, they always come up with it by the end.
A ridiculous lie. Like a fucking almost, can you say that? Yeah. So, yeah. But it's funny. They always come around. Everybody comes around. But yeah, it's interesting to have this happen with no resistance. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's easy. Ansley's not even saying anything.
I'm just hanging out.
Yeah. Normally she has to like get people to like, basically, she's like, can you answer the fucking question?
Really?
You know,
like,
you know, so
I'm ready to be my third person this year.
Yeah.
I'm so ready. Okay.
All right, so we are moving right along. We are up into the more metaphysical of the chakras now. This is the third eye chakra.
Fuck.
Right? So don't worry, man. You've been crushing it so far. You've been opening up these chakras like no one's business here. So what are two things that you used to think were separate, but now you realize are the same thing?
Sucking and fucking. all right, as long as we're gonna squeegee our third eyes, it's not two things, it's everything.
Okay.
So let's say the things I want to balance in life, right? So my job, my comedy, my friends, my family, and me time, right? And so for a very long time, I thought that if I wanted to enhance one of them, if I neglected one, that would help me enhance or move forward in one specific area of my life. And the fact of the matter is that all of them are fucking connected. And it's not necessarily that all of them have to be doing good, but you have to be at peace at the things that are not doing good. So like for a perfect example, like I thought that like if I fucked off at my job, then I could put more mental energy and more mental chutzpah into like comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is that like that is not the way that it fucking works. Like you cannot fuck off in one aspect of your life and expect that to help another aspect of your life. Like all of the things that you're trying to balance all need to be properly balanced. You know, there is no duality. There is no this or the other. Like if one thing is out of whack, everything is going to become out of whack. It needs to be like a perfect harmonious thing, you know? And like I said, like, so it doesn't mean all of them have to be good. Like you don't have to have like a good family life, but you need to be at least at peace with the fact that you don't want a good one or you don't have a good one. You can't just neglect one aspect of your life and think that just because you're neglecting it, it's going to make all these other things better. Like everything needs to be in like some form of harmony for it all to work.
That makes sense.
It does. Yeah. It does.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot. That's, I mean, you feel good about it because we're ready to move on. That was it.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
that was that question.
All right.
I think that was good.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And of course, I always forget to do this, but of course we have the Patreon coming up next. Lou's going to stick around for that. And we're zipping through the regular podcast like no one's business.
This easy peasy.
Yeah, it is. And so, all right. So we're getting into, we're at the last question here, Lou.
Damn.
We're at the crown chakra now.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. This is enlightenment. This is like pure light, top of the head, your connection with the universe.
Can I tell you, my body has felt a little better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, people, it's funny to watch people go through this. Like, they'll start talking, and as you get through the episode, their posture gets all straight. It's like, it's funny. It's so, Lou, what is one thing that you can, this is a two-part question. This is a double two-part question, sort of.
Four parts.
Well, three parts, but a two-part question, first part has two parts.
I already don't want to answer. Yeah. I'm already done. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see you at the Patreon.
Okay. Lou, what is one thing you can't give up and why, right? That's the first part. The second part is what would giving it up mean to you?
Oh, it's actually pretty easy for me. And it's again, this is something that I learned from being in LA. It's my fucking family. Loving your family really cuts the legs out from underneath you. Like, I really wish that I could just fuck off to Hawaii for the rest of my life, but I can't fucking do it. I am so fucking gay for my family. I can't even put it into words. I love being around them. I love hanging out with them. And
those are the same thing.
Yeah. we don't suck and fuck. That's a big one in my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I truly did not realize how important to my well-being being around my family was. Until I left for LA. And now that I have my godson running around, he's 5 years old and he's the best thing that's ever happened to the fucking earth.
Dude, it's all about family.
Yeah.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
So I have two older half sisters. One of them lives right down the road. She's like my sister. And then I have two younger brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've also had some people die. We've had all kinds of crazy shit happen in our family. But yeah, that was like another big thing is like me and my brother were always like kind of button heads for a really long time, and it wasn't until the past few years that now he's like my favorite person. So it's like, you know, rediscovering like that and realizing like all the years that we had like kind of lost, like just being different. It doesn't feel like I'm making up for lost time, but it's just like, oh fuck, like you're a dude in my life. Like now he's like, when I go out, he's like one of the first people I call.
Hell yeah.
And that, and like being around my dad and being around my mom and like being around Cooper. I remember the moment I realized I was leaving LA, I was visiting home and me and my brother were sharing a beer outside. It was a beautiful day. He was cooking on the grill. Cooper, that's my godson, was dancing alone in a diaper like 4 feet from us. And I was just like looking around and I was like, man, I want for nothing right now. Like I am completely in this moment. And that's a hard thing for me to do. And it was like getting hit in the head with a brick. It was like, oh fuck, it's like, oh, it's like it's been these people the whole time.
He's never been hit in the head with a brick. Know that for a fact. All right, so what would giving it up mean? What would giving up your family mean to you?
I mean, honestly, I don't know if I've ever vocalized this before, but I have this like really weird, twisted, fucked up fantasy that like one day they all die in like a car accident and then I just move to like the Florida Keys and just get absolutely hammered drunk alone for the rest of my life.
One car, like a limo, like what are they in? A bus?
I don't, yeah, I
how
guess
big is your family? Your fantasy is logistically fucked up. Yeah, yeah,
they all hit each other. It's like a they're involved in a terrible bumper car accident.
It's like a family outing that you just happen to not be there for.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So
this logistically makes sense. Like, right. This fantasy can story. Work.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like if they were to go, I probably wouldn't stick around for that much longer, But B, it's like, yeah, like there is like that weird fucking horrible thought that I have where I'm just like, man, I would just drop off the face of the earth and crawl into a bottle and a bag for the rest of my fucking life.
I like how you do that in Florida, though, where it's like,
well, yeah, where the fuck else? Like, what am I going to do?
Wasn't that fun in L.A.?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck boy becomes fuck man in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be Florida. Where else am I? Yeah. I'm not going to go do it in Vermont. It's too cold.
That's also fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that's like, Yeah, it's fucking family, dude. Fucking Vin Diesel in those goddamn Fast and the Furious movies got it right.
Got it right, man.
Yeah.
So that
it's all about family.
That is the podcast. How do you feel?
Fucking hard.
Do you feel enlightened? Do you feel like your consciousness has risen?
I mean,
are you happy you said these things out loud into a mic?
I do. You know what it is? I got this. You know what I do feel right now is I feel lighter. And every time I feel like I get something off my chest, like I feel like there's a lot of things that like weigh on me. And when I get rid of them, like I actually physically feel lighter. Like I'm going to float to the ceiling. You're going to yell at me like Willy Wonka.
That's what this podcast does.
Yes.
Lightens the loads.
Yes.
All right. So
I've lightened a few loads in my day.
So do you have, Lou, what do you want to plug while you're here?
Oh, the Night Moves podcast. It's me and Sean Preston and Tyler Rothrock every week. Yeah, we just fucking shoot the shit, have a great time. We got a Patreon, which is awesome. Also started a live show at the Emmaus Theater.
Emmaus.
We just did our first one last week, which was awesome. And we got another one on January 12th.
Hell yeah. Nice. January 12th. Check them out in Emmaus at the Emmaus Theater. I still pronounce it Emmaus. But yeah, also we're going to hop over into the Patreon, so hop over there with us. And I'll be in St. Louis January 7th and 8th with the one and only Matt McCusker.
Fuck yeah.
And then January 18th, I'll be at Helium. February 23rd, I will be at, I don't think it's Helium, it might be Soldiers. Man, I almost did it.
You almost did it.
Better
than before.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm improving.
Yeah.
But guys, thank you so much. Again, the Patreon, $1 gets you all of our exclusive content. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We're out.
See ya. To Jack Rose.